The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, will you please put your hands together for the
Broadcast. The beautiful game from her point of view. Broadcast. Amy Walsh, Claire Rustad, and Rian Wilkinson too. Broadening perspectives, horizons, and minds. You're tuned into the broadcast on Footy Prime.
Yeah, they are always good.
Merchants of badass.
Okay, we're going to get right stuck into it. This is the broadcast.
Bye.
Today we are Tuesday, November 18th. So a couple days, 3 days following the NSL final, the first ever Northern Super League final where the Vancouver Rise were crowned champions and lifted the Diana B. Matheson Cup. MVP, again, first ever, Morgan McCaslin of the Rise. So well-deserved historic win for the Vancouver franchise. Upsetting, I think is fair to say, the favorites in Supporters Shield winning AFC Toronto. So I'm Amy Walsh. We have Shireen Salty Ahmed here. We have Dr. Claire Rustad, who's joining us at an ungodly hour from the West Coast. Mm-hmm. Sean Whitaker, please keep your comments to yourself. We have West Coast representation. Okay.
I'm right so here. It's
revel ungodly. In it. She won't always be here, but she's here today. And Sigs Butler is also here. So this is not the last of the broads, but this is going to be our last word on the Northern Super League in the inaugural year for a wee while. But we're going to dig into the final. So I don't know, Signa, let's start with you as the voice, amongst others, with Nigel Reed and Daniela Ponticelli. Is that his name? And Matt Cullen. Great play-by-play voices. Ashley Docking that contributed this year. But I think about the NSL, I think of your voice and the tremendous job that you did. So your thoughts, my friend, on the final.
Thank you.
Very formal.
Indeed. It was a wonderful season.
We all bowed to you earlier.
Ups and downs, wins and losses.
Gratitudes and cliches.
Okay, can I just say right off the bat, like, are the rest of you guys exhausted? Like,
yeah.
I am so toast.
Like, so fucking tired. Yeah.
I am so tired. And like, I don't think I fully digested the final because of just all the, you know, like the pomp around the game and the lead in and the 7 months of covering this league. And then, you know, the tale of two halves is what we call this match, right? You know, AFC Toronto just like fully, like full gas, you know.
It was an onslaught.
They were like on the Autobahn and like, and like Vancouver Rise was like up a country road for the first 30 minutes. And
up a country road.
Hey, yes. Easy on country roads there,
country
Mindy.
Road.
Yeah, sorry. but like, it was like, you know, it should have been, and I think we talked about that. And I think too, you know, when AFC Toronto looks back at that game, they'll say, you know, we let this game get away from us. They should have been up 3-0, maybe 4-0, at the Lightning break. And I almost forgot about the Lightning break because it became so fluid afterward and the game started changing, you know, like, the confidence started building with Vancouver. They held them off. They held them off. It was only 1-0. That's a surmountable, deficit to come back from.
Yeah.
And they did. And like that Stanton goal was like the deflation nation right there. Like
listed as an OG, by the way. I kind of wish they would have given it to Stanton.
I agree with you, actually. I mean, I think sometimes, like, when you create something like that, you deserve the goal.
Mm-hmm. I think by, like, rules, it should have been given to Stanton because we don't...
I agree.
In a circumstance, when a goalkeeper bobbles the ball and it goes in the goal, we don't call a known goal, right?
So, yeah.
No, because that was on frame. It didn't get deflected in a way that changed the course.
It was always
in. Yeah. It just bounced off of her, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. You're saying you're saying Stanton should have got
credit for the goal.
Credited.
For the goal. He did, actually. Hold on.
Well, maybe it depends where you're looking.
In the moment, I think she did, and maybe they like looked.
Yeah,
back.
We were changed told it. On the broadcast it was credited to Stanton.
Okay,
yeah. That's what I saw. Yeah,
taken a look at it because you know when you're taking in a game, sometimes you latch onto certain things, and then it can shift your perspective, and you're always calling what you see, right? And you can't change that. But I always take a look after the fact of, but you know, the game flow and the commentary and the stats just to see like, have I missed anything? Have I misremembered or like, so I took a look at it and it's since been, at least on, you know, whatever outlet I was on, it's since been classified as an own goal.
As an own goal. So based on the celebrations, she and her team considered it her goal. So then there's that 100%. Emotional factor of them. Like in my brain, I'm considering it hers. Statched mats.
That was the beginning of like, that was the confidence. I think the confidence had already started to build with Vancouver because they had the reset. And I talked to Anya Hannah-Moller after the game, and she said that was actually like a gift to us that we had the lightning delay, that we had.
She said that in the presser too. She said it straight up on record that the lightning break.
And it tilted that way afterward. And Toronto just didn't. You know, I look back to chances from Kaylee Hunter and Esther Okoronkwo and, you know, Emma Regan's shot from distance that McCaslin had stretching save on. And, you know, they could have put it away. They could have put it away. But coulda, woulda, shoulda, right? Like, it's that's football. And Vancouver peaked at the right time this season. They had their ups and downs and they peaked at the right time and they pulled it off. So like full credit to them. Absolutely. I did forget there was almost a weather delay. Did you guys feel the same way? Like, I know we were like tap dancing. We were like, da, 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 da.
Quite literally. Yeah.
Let's go back to the panel. Let's go down to Rob Pizzo. Let's go back up to us. Oh, Kate McKenna's in the booth with us. Like
you guys like, handled that so beautifully because 30 minutes is a long time.
It was a long show, like from a like behind the scenes perspective, but like I had so much fun doing that part of the show. Like,
so did I.
The 30 minute break. And like Claire, like you could speak to this more. Like you guys are running around like
in the tunnel, makeshift kind of studio
from lightning. You know, it just had a bit of everything. But then afterward, you know, the game was, you know, and I think you looking back, this is no disrespect to Quinn because Quinn, in my mind, was having a fine game. But Nikki Stanton's insertion did something to Vancouver. And it's not just about the goal. Like, you know, Quinn's injury, unfortunate. But Nikki Stanton's insertion did something. And I don't know whether it's the fact that she has that wealth of experience playing in big games in the NWSL, you know, bringing that into the NSL. I'm not sure, but it made a huge difference to Vancouver.
I will say that Anya Hannah-Moller said that the rain delay made a big difference. I thought you saw them kind of resemble themselves in, you know, the 7 minutes plus stoppage time after they came back from the rain delay, but it was truly the break at half where I thought they came out of the dressing room and they were on the front foot. They started to dictate via possession. You started to see the patterns of play come out. And even though AFC Toronto still had some chances going the other way, you remember the Okoronkwo chance on the break where she dribbled into pressure, desperate to get it on that left foot. But I saw it as halftime. And then obviously the Stanton goal, which gave them life. It gave them that confidence. It gave them a shot. But then it was Hannah-Moller, the sub that took Okamoto off and put Mariah Lee in. And that was in the 60th minute. And then 8 minutes later was that team goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Claire, how did you see it?
Yeah, it felt so much like the Olympic quarterfinal that you and I played in, where we went down a goal by a goal in the right off the bat, I thought, and had a big 2.5 hour rain delay. And came back on and scored almost right away. And it called me back that a little bit. That's just from a technical side and not the game side. That is the most fun part about TV. It's stressful and it's chaotic, but it's so, that's what I've always really loved about it is the, oh, and you're on in 30. So it was really cool from our, like from what it looked like for us, we were in a tent in the corner of the field, and the northwest corner of the field, and doing just fine. We had walls on three sides of our tents had walls. We had a couple of space heaters. I was not dying from the cold. And when we heard about the lightning delay and everyone went inside, they're like, oh yes, we also cannot be out here. So ran into the tunnel and there was one of the camera guys in the tunnel and we just sort of stood there in front of them. And he was like, hi. And we were like, we need a set. And he was like, okay. And he built a set in, I swear, 45 seconds. He turned, it was a great moment of kind of leadership and delegation from him. He just turned all the people around him. He was like, go and give me the light from the field. Set this camera up here. Put this table over here. Like, that's your monitor. It's right there. Everything was set up in about 45 seconds. And they're like, sorry, we only have one microphone. I was like, are you kidding me? This has better lighting than my house.
Can I get this at home in my bathroom?
I'm like right underneath pot lights. Like, this is terrible. Yeah, I just, that's one of the things I've always really enjoyed. And I've had a few moments in the 12 or 13 years I've been doing this where it's like that. And it's not something I thought I would cope with well or thrive in, but I didn't think TV was until I tried it. And it's really fun. You just sort of like, well, I guess this is what we're doing. Anyway, so that's kind of what it looked like from our perspective. I was looking for a pencil because I wanted to write down the stuff that I was going to say, but I think are we allowed to say that we were the ones who sort of voted on the MVP? I guess so, because we were.
Well, you just did. So
I just did. We'll just roll with it. I'll tell you a reasoning. I mean, it wasn't that there was one person who dominated or stood out. I think there were a lot of people who had good games. I think I actually kind of appreciated that about the game, that there wasn't just kind of like, we weren't relying on one superstar, that they really were kind of more team performances in two different halves. But there wasn't really one person that stood up for the whole game. But if Morgan McCaslin doesn't make those two saves in the first half, that game is over in the 15th minute.
And Jasmine Spencer off the line and no Okoronkwo, right?
Yep, Jasmine Spencer off the line. But there were the two saves, the one off of Regan, and I cannot remember the other one. But two big saves in like the first, I can't remember exactly the timing, but I think it was in the first 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Those go in, that's it. Game's over. It's been 3-0 in the like 20th minute. And that's the thing, is that sometimes the player who has one of the biggest impacts on the game has it in a short period of time and keeps their team alive. So I really liked that. I have expectations now of this.
You always did, Claire Resta. Don't pretend.
Yeah, I didn't at the beginning. Now I do. I didn't at the beginning. I didn't during the first game of the season when I'd never seen any of them play. I didn't have expectations. I mean, you're right. I sort of did. But but even more so now. Even more so now. I mean, we had no idea what to expect in that home opener. We really didn't. Mm-hmm. And I think the level has been I don't want to say surprisingly good. The level has just been good. And it's been fun to watch. It's been fun to watch teams grow. It's been fun to watch kind of like the ebbs and flows of their seasons. And I think the league has just really set itself up for what can sometimes be a difficult second season. I hope that expansion team that Diana talked about heads west.
Mm-hmm. Yes, west is where they're targeting.
It should go to the prairies, to be clear. Mm-hmm. It should go to the prairies. I like selfishly want it to come to Victoria or something, but I think it should go to the prairies.
Mm-hmm. Yep, working on that. 2027 is when they're expecting that to happen, which is ambitious, I think, but I think also right, given where we are. Shireen, we haven't heard from you yet, but I wanted to touch on something that Claire just said about the improvisational nature of TV, and I think we all thrive in that environment, but we can only thrive in that environment if the people behind the scenes are doing all the work to make us feel supported in doing that. And that word improvise, I think you can steer back to the game and the head-to-head, the tactical battle between Marko Milanovic and Enyo Heiner-Muller. And I think Heiner-Muller won that battle because substitutions made by Milanovic fell flat. Even the insertion of Unberg, I think that was a miss. And Lauren Rowe, her speed, I felt like she could add something to that attack. It was one-dimensional for me. They were only trying to hit on transition or threaten from wide areas. The quality was not there on those final balls. But I alluded to it earlier, the substitution she made to go to a straight up, not just in the build, but a straight up 3-4-3. And Mariah Lee would made such a difference in the semifinals. I think that she has the edge there, and that made a difference in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a bunch of things I want to talk about. I've been taking notes since these two have been talking. And absolutely, you and I talked about this. For me, this final was Marko being outcoached. Enyo using the depth of the bench, but also post-lightning strike for me, watching and then also listening to the commentary and something Sam Chang said in the post-game presser, which is really interesting because, and just to give people like a background of what happens post-match, you all are still on the air. No, you were off the air at that point because we waited a little bit, but Emma Regan and Marko come out first. And Emma Regan's always very stoic, but it's really challenging in that way, just like in the semis, Tanya, and I texted you guys, Tanya Boychuk cried through a lot of it, like very softly, tears welled up. Emma Regan choking up is really intense because she is so stoic and her voice broke several times to the extent where Marko had to reach over and like kind of pat her. And those moments are hard to do. So hats off to them for doing that and her being so agreeable about it because they were. But on that level, what you were saying in terms of them attacking. And I do disagree with Claire. For me, 100%, and I was texting you guys, Morgan McCaslin should have been the MVP for me because of what she did in that first. It panned out so that it worked out. But for me, her performance stood out incredibly because I do agree with Claire saying the match would have been very different had she not done what she done. And yes, the goal line saved by Spencer, but I was astounded. She stood on her head for 20 minutes and literally kept rising the game.
Isn't that what I said?
What? I couldn't hear the.
Oh, I thought you said you disagree with me. I was like,
no, I did because you said it was team performances, not necessarily a standard.
It was, but we gave her that MVP because the first 20 minutes she did stand.
No, for sure. But I was just responding to what you were saying now. For me, from jump, like I was texting the group, being like, she should be the MVP, and then Amy, you said it should be Hunter.
That's what I had called pregame.
That's what you called
and
then.
And I think if and she had like, buried a few other opportunities,
then it should have been her.
Changed the game, and then she would have been the MVP, but it was not to be.
Yeah, that opportunity she had to cut across the box to Okoronkwo and make it 2-0, that
on her left foot. And yeah, she shot with her right foot towards the post.
She shot with her right.
Which all season long they'd done. Like all season long, that was the combination.
It was and a mirror image of their opening goal versus Montreal in the second leg of the semifinal.
Yes. One of the things that I think is really interesting about this is the creativity used. The like Toronto, AFC Toronto tried to stick to the usual game plan. Rice didn't do that. Rice didn't do that. And they came out and it was the insertion. I also agree of Stanton. I think there is a playfulness and an experience there that helped a lot. And I just it was delightful to see. Now, you know me. I was calling Morgan McCaslin MVP very early because I'm impatient and impulsive, and that's what I wanted from jump. Lucky it panned out, so it makes me look smart. But for me, it was the chaos. The real MVP of this game was the absolute literal chaos, was the, I counted 77 yellow bookings. No, I'm just kidding. It was 8. It was like literally Oprah, you get a yellow, you get a yellow, you get, it was so much fun.
The officiating though. Yeah. I have some notes because
I do
believe there was a missed handball on Rebecca Lake.
I was screaming it.
So my phone was blowing
Six
up.
And I said on the call. Yeah.
We were like in the replay.
We have the benefit of replay. Like I do.
But Signa, when it happened, I was like, handball.
That did not replay. I could see it from the other end of the field.
Yeah. It was fairly obvious.
It wasn't clear for us in the press box. So we were all kind of looking at each other. Wasn't that a handball? But it was waved off and it was like, okay, well, wait a second. But I went back to my phone. I put my phone away and I went back to it. And like, I think including my mother, about 15 people had texted me. I don't know what they think I'm going to do about the officiating, but like, do you know, you just have a tendency to,
yeah, you want to commiserate about it.
100%. So I was like, okay, whatever. But there was a lot of things about this. And you said this, Amy, just earlier about them peaking. And it's a question that I've asked Anya.
Sig said that.
Sorry. I've asked her going into the semis when we did the broadcast call for the Ottawa-Vancouver match about them peaking. And I said, you said you were very gracious and said you didn't plan it out this way, but it really sincerely looked like they peaked when they had to. She said, and I took notes while she was talking, we took care of the small details, is what Enya Heiner-Muller said. And I find that really interesting about the small details, because it is sometimes the attention to details that creates opportunity. And in ways that you don't expect. And I think for me, that coaching came out that way. It was a creativity in that. We're not going to lie, it was the rain. They're from Vancouver. I think it fit. I think that it was a little bit of luck. The football goddesses wanted this. And it's I will say this. I'm not mad at the result. I think that having a league champion and the championship trophy winners not being from the same place is really, it's good for the league, it's good for competition, it's good for morale across the board, and it creates storylines.
Yeah.
The BMO curse storyline.
That's right. 0-3 at BMO Field, AFC Toronto.
Whoever AFC plays in this indoor tournament, the 7v7 they're going to in Florida, they're going to murder them. Marco will have them lined up like military style. And they will be destroyed. So commiserations to the people that AFC Toronto is going to play down there, because they will have a point to prove. Mm-hmm.
Okay, before we wrap, just talking about the final specifically, you mentioned a little bit of luck, Shireen, and I agree that they needed that, but they were pushing, they were more front-footed, they sort of re-found their identity again, and that Stanton goal was just the little push that they needed on their way to that victory, but that team goal, Cigna and Claire. Like, starting from a goal kick from Cowart, the brilliant first touch by Lisa Pachursky, the movement and the vision by Sam Chang, that beautifully left-footed ball curled into space for Holly Ward to run onto, the first touch that eliminated Burns, and the finish when she tried so often over the course of the season to go with her right foot towards the near post, almost like a reverse finish. She goes with her left foot. And she beats Cody Yard. Like, that was a thing of beauty. And I hope that we see that highlight over and over and over again. Yeah.
Team goal.
Yeah. It was beautiful.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. I mean, you could also argue in a similar but different way. I mean, the way that Toronto scored too.
Was
just a really, it was efficient is what it was.
One touch.
A very efficient slice and dice of Vancouver. And I said it on the broadcast, cause I think for a long time, you know, direct soccer it's kind of blasphemy to talk about, but that's because I think that people don't really understand what it means. And that's what it was. That was direct soccer. And you have to use it. It's not like I think for a long time when people think of it as just kick and run and they don't really kind of understand what it means and therefore write it off as a tool. Right. And that
it can still be sophisticated. Right.
Exactly. And that was using it as a tool really effectively. That was three passes and a goal. Mm-hmm. And it sliced through every line of Vancouver's defense. And you just have to see that moment. And I think Toronto does that really well when they find the moment. But yeah, no, I think that was what was great was Hunter's finish the best? It was good, but it was fine.
Yeah. And was Morgan McCaslin the best on that finish either? No.
Not necessarily, but I think it was a culmination of a touch that brought her inside, gave her a better angle, but I thought slowed her down and I was worried. When she first took it, I was like, no! And then just enough to draw McCaslin's attention away. But, it was really nice. It was really great to see both of those goals as really kind of team goals. And I just want to say about rain. Yes, it rains in Vancouver, Toronto. We don't as frequently as you weirdos We don't get thunderstorms as frequently as you guys. So the whole kind of like, yeah, sure, we're used to being wet. But that having that kind of delay, I didn't think necessarily going into the tunnel. I think the edge favored Vancouver because something had to break Toronto's momentum. Yeah. But in terms of just like coping with delay, they were at no advantage otherwise. So, yeah, just commenting on the fact that you guys get thunderstorms. That's bad luck.
Is that an actual umbrella that you have open?
You know, I love theater and props, and this is what I'm doing. We'll talk about the umbrella on the dance floor with Amy Walsh after, maybe if we get time. Yeah, I'm not superstitious, and the door's open, so I feel like it mitigates. Just to point out, I would like to point out here, because it's relevant, I had some conversations with some people in passing, and they're like, oh, this is Toronto-centric. I would like to point
about
out.
What? This, about us? Or about like our coverage?
No, no, just generally. Broadcast. Not us in particular. Because on this call right now, there are three people who are coastal people. So I just want to say that I appreciate that. And Amy, also you being in Quebec and not Ontario. So actually on this call, there's no Ontarians. I just want to say that I'm an implant. I've been here forever. Yes, I recognize, but I'm just saying that kind of stuff is important. And yeah, noted, Claire, no lightning. That's fair. And we were talking before.
And Claire's like, Claire Rustad would also say that implants can't be there forever. You have to get them changed eventually, right?
Oh, did Claire just predict I'm moving to like Calgary or something? Oh my goodness.
I think we were talking about different implants, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. I was thinking teeth, but she's not talking teeth, is she?
No, she's definitely talking boobs for sure.
Boobs.
I'll cleave this off in editing post.
Yes. Cleave. Oh, Amy. Fantastic. By the way,
Cigna had an
sorry, before you can cut this, Cigna had an excellent pun yesterday, and immediately we're like, Amy Walsh.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I went to the spa yesterday because I needed to get a massage. And then I said, and then I spelled it the other way, need. And then we both said, Amy Walsh.
So I probably kind of like twitched like with delight somehow.
Yeah, somehow. So if midday you twitched, that's why.
That's why. On like the scale of 0 to Amy sense. Walsh.
All right. I will open this because Claire, I didn't think that you were joining, but I'm sure while I'm talking, I'll find something. But like I asked you guys to curate your favorite moments of the NSL season. Could be one, could be a number of them. So we'll go through it quick because Sigs has a hard out in 8 minutes. So
45, if you really need.
Okay. Cigna Butler, my favorite Sigs moment, and there have been many over the course of this season, was "What a Howitzer" by Maggie Doherty Howard. I love that call. Shireen was maybe again. It was so fun to work with you both, and Claire to have kind of bookend the season working with you at BC Place, and then the final game, just a delight. But Shireen, if I had to pick one, it was your board on CBC, and that was you growing in, like from. You know, your tremendous ability and you're so respected and you're renowned as this reporter and this journalist, but on air as the pundit, that was new. And to see your growth and to see your comfort and to see your confidence grow was great because I got to live it right next to you off of that left shoulder. So it was your board on our final day of coverage with the CBC where it was the alliterative play on words, Shireen's secrets to success. And I think the secret to success for NSL is to continue to have you on its coverage. And Claire Rustad, just the fact that you can be a doctor, you can be a mom, you can be renovating your basement, and you can get dropped into NSL final coverage like you were with us the entire year, and to come up with the Kaylee Hunter, which you called, I'll give you full credit, at the beginning of the year, even though you didn't cover her in that inaugural match, that you saw the impact that she would have. And then it came full circle with that analysis pack. It's impressive. And I was so glad that you were able to join us.
Amy Walsh.
Those are my moments.
Oh, you.
Those are your moments? You don't have a favorite moment for like something you called, something in studio, something...
I'll just say real quick because I'm taking up a lot of this airtime. The same way that I don't miss actually playing the games. I miss the competition occasionally, but what I miss are everything around the pitch. The moments right before, the fucking around and the banter and the doing up your cleats and the little rondos and all the shit that's pre or post. That's what I love the most about the coverage was like the makeup room, whether it was Kate or Sylvia or Kate Easterbrook at CBC and like all that support we had there. Kelly, our sound person, like all of the producers that we got to work with and all that banter and the prep and the calls and as much work as it was all of it pre and post and obviously the little moments in between. That's what I love the most.
Yeah, I concur that. I agree. I agree with Amy Walsh. That's, you know, if you're part of a team sport, you know what that feels like. And I could get emotional talking about it. I won't do that, but... Okay, so the viewers who are like, what is wrong with Amy and Cigna?
Yeah.
Okay, so
please tell us.
Emma Regan and Sam Chang played on the same Danish club team. It's K-O, whatever that O is, and
with the diagonal bar.
Yeah, with the diagonal bar. G-E. And we were like, how the heck do you say this? So it's ku. But we kind of turned it into cool, but not really. But we said it at the same time during the broadcast, and it could have gone, as Claire said, horribly wrong.
Yes, because in our production meeting the day before, like I was almost like on the floor. I was laughing so hard. Like I derailed the production meeting because I just was like totally, anyway, like started to laugh and couldn't stop.
Yeah. And so we decided, I don't know, it just, we actually did not decide to do that together. I riskily said that, if riskily is a word. I decided to say that. And we just said it in unison because we've been, of course, working on broadcast together for 7 months. And we just kind of knew. And AC Lang was like, she tweeted something to us. And she was like, the look of like, what did you say? The look of like.
I don't know, like delight or
pride, what it was. Pride when you
yes,
guys at the same awesome. Time. Oh my God. Anyway, so that's up there with a favorite moment or one of the more ridiculous things I've done on the air. Okay. Off the field, one of my favorite moments is trivia night.
Oh yes. We didn't even talk about trivia night.
Okay, trivia night. They had this NSL like inaugural, like just like celebration around the weekend. Unfortunately, Shireen couldn't be there. Claire couldn't be there, but Amy, myself, Rhonda Kirkpatrick, one of our producers from CBC, Bonnie Walsh, sister of Amy, and Carrie Ryan, great supporter of Footy Prime, was with us and a coastal girl herself, was on our trivia team. And we finished second.
God damn it.
Probably. And our team name was Koo.
There we go.
Is that the team name?
Yeah. That was the team name. And but my favorite moment was when they played, you had to guess that tune and they played Fraggle Rock.
Oh my God.
And so they're like, dance your cares away. Worries for another
day. Let the music play.
So Amy's there and she's like full on into it. And people are like, look, and she like yelled out Fraggle Rock. And I'm like, no, that's the answer.
I maybe wrecked it. We could have won, but I gave the answer away. Okay. It was worth it.
That was my off the field moment and such great vibes. All the, you know, Jocelyn was there. Echo was there. Sunny was there. The mascots. Jocelyn was there, Claire. Although I think you're on Sunny's. Are you Sunny now and not Jocelyn, Claire?
What?
Mascot.
Jocelyn is the best.
Okay, good. Okay,
Jocelyn. Why would I ever leave Jocelyn? Like, just no notes.
No notes.
Okay, OG great.
And nobody will ever beat Jocelyn.
No.
When they walked in, I was screaming like a 10-year-old. Like, I was like, anyway, it was a great night. Anastasia and Diana hosting that.
Desi Scott, too.
Desi Scott. It was really, really fun. And great to see all the supporters from all six teams in attendance too. So that was super fun. Mm-hmm. On the field moment. Okay. Shireen's going to think this is predictable. I'm going to say I have two Tides moments this season. One I was present for, the other one I was on the call for. So the one I was present for was Sarah Miller's screamer against Montreal. Mm-hmm. Fantastic goal. 2-2 match. at Wanderers grounds. It was great.
Wasn't that nominated for Goal of the Year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. You could kind of see the buildup playing. I was on FaceTime with my kid and I was like, gotta go. Cause I could see what was happening.
Yeah.
And I was there with a bunch of my St. Mary's alumni teammates watching the game. So that was super fun. And the other one was Sid Kennedy's goal, first goal of the season against the Calgary Wild from distance. If there's a player more deserving to get their first goal, I don't know who it is. What a workhorse for Halifax this season. So those are my two. And I mean, they're goals. Like, goals just come to mind. I'm sure there's other moments, but like, you know, goals come to mind. So there you go. Those are mine.
Mm-hmm. Shireen or Claire?
So there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that, you know, I enjoy tremendously, and we capture a lot of that on broadcast days through the season, whether it's like TikToks, Claire's just like, no. And I apologize. I had kept threatening Claire before the final with all this stuff, and it ended up being so busy that I didn't get to.
No, I kept going out the back door of the change room.
Yeah, I know. And then I with lots of love and deference, Claire let me hug her and have the most fabulous picture of that somebody captured, and it's lovely. Mm-hmm. And she like loves it inside. She's like cringing, but it's like half love, half cringe. But it's the relationship building for me. The moments, like, I can't watch women's soccer without hearing Sig. And if I don't hear Sig, I get irritated, which isn't fair because Sig needs some time off. And both of you calling is really, it's like, I associate that. I think for me, probably Quinny's first goal, the first goal in the league. And then Sig hearing your voice with that and every montage after, like, I've been sending sappy voice notes to Amy yesterday and like crying as I'm sending them, because like the relationship building between that, and also there was this tremendous appreciation and gratitude. And I say marinated in gratitude. The players are really there. Like, and we're in the beginning. Maybe in 10 years of players and the teams are going to be annoyed with media, but right now we're not there. We're at the ground. We're literally in the building zone, in the construction zones and zone literally of something that's building. And so there's a lot of affinity and respect for different people's roles. And that, for me, was one of the behind the scene things that was really players coming up to us constantly, literally afterwards when I'm walking to get my stuff from the makeup room, Justy Filippo's like, you were so good, thank you. And I'm like, yeah, you were pretty good too. Like, I just thought it was really kind and generous of people to constantly say that, because it means a lot. And I will say this, and I told you I was going to do this, Amy, if it's okay. Sigs, when you and I were in Halifax, what Katie Barrett said to us, and we're standing there, and Sig and I are literally standing there with our little notebooks writing stuff down because that's how we do. And Katie Barrett actually says, thank you.
Will you tell the people who Katie Barrett is?
Sorry, Katie Barrett is listed as assistant coach with the Tides, but had played for a match and suited up. And one of the coolest things about Katie Barrett is that they had Sid Kennedy.
She was head coach for a match
when Hardy had to go to his daughter's wedding.
Yeah.
And sat there and Kat would lean over and whisper to Megu and to Megumi, and we're like, what's happening? Found out later, Emily Vincent told us, shout out to Emily, that when Katie found out Megu was coming, she started to learn Japanese so she could translate with her. And like, that's something that is so extraordinary to me. Katie looked at us and said, you know, Sid had offered perspective, and then it's something that Katie said to us. And I felt like a little kid. My face is usually pretty confident. I know where I am. I felt like I was knocked off my socks. What was knocked out of my socks?
I'm so happy you mentioned that. That's also a full circle moment.
Full circle moment. Knocked off my socks.
Knocked me off my socks.
Knocked me off of them immediately. And it was really great. So there's that relationship building, getting to know players. I saw Enya before the match. I was in the hallway doing a news hit. And then saw her after the press tour. I walked out and I ran into her husband, Kenneth Heinermoeller, on my way up to my spot with Kate, and he was lost. So I had to redirect him to where he needed to go. And that was a fun moment, just to be like, oh yeah, no, you're not supposed to be here. You're supposed to go there and you're supposed to go there. So that was kind of fun. But also getting to know the coaches as people. One of my favorite moments is me finally, after weeks, asking to Katrina Peterson on a call, what are you watching? Because it plagued me for weeks. She had mentioned on a previous call that she would watch shows. So I started to be like, what shows? Because I need to know this stuff. It's important for my coverage to know what she's watching on Netflix. And she said, yeah, remember we talked about this on the broadcast. Anyway, there's little moments that I take away. There's the goal celebrations for me. Lauren Rowe was spectacular. The snow celebrations were fun. The aura stuff, DB. Also, you guys doing DB.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Am I getting it wrong?
You're doing it right.
Is this it?
I'm not going to even try.
And on the very first broadcast, me and Amy not being able to coordinate our high five at all in front of the entire country was amazing.
But also like not embarrassing somehow, because it's just that level of comfort.
Yeah. And one of my favorite things too is that while we're on the air and Claire sends us long messages and then wherever I am, I read them and I burst out laughing, and I shouldn't always do that because Claire's cutting commentary is fucking hilarious, but also cannot be read if you can't control.
Cannot be disclosed publicly.
No.
We all want to keep our jobs. Okay, Sigs, it's 9:55.
You're good.
You have to go, Claire. Okay. I know it's a little bit. I don't want to say challenging, but different because
I got stuff. So our producer who was in the little tent with us at the final, his name's Kevin. Kev Corain is a ginger from Manchester. Kev Corain, the first time I worked with him was the Olympics. What was that, 2 years ago? So we have this joke that any sort of aerial disaster tends to happen when the two of us work together, because it was drone gate during the Olympics. And now we had a lightning strike, and we're pretty sure there'll be a hurricane if we ever work together again.
Mm-hmm. Too many gingers in one tent.
He was Annie M. He was great. He was like in that lightning strike, he had laid the whole thing out as a plan, and just like that calm voice of reason in the tent. And it was like, it was not a big deal. We just picked up our stuff and moved, and we just did what we needed to do. It so helps having a soccer person as your person who is creating your little highlight packages or your little analysis packs, because all I have to do is say Kevin that, and he knows where to start and where to end, right? Because it's not always about the final shot on goal, because then there's nothing worse when you're like, oh, I want this highlight, and all they show is a shot on goal. It's like, no, I want the six passes leading up to it. Exactly. So it really helps to have someone like that behind those cuts. So I just wanted to give a little shout out to Kev. And then I also wanted to give, I've worked with Andy Petrillo for on and off since we basically both started. The first tournament she and I ever did together, which was, I think, around the time she started doing stuff at CBC, was in 2013. I think it was 2013. It was the year before the Men's World Cup in 2014. So, I mean, like, we've worked together for a really long time. She is a consummate pro. She is nearly impossible to rattle. And, I have a huge amount of respect for the way that she hosts. I thought it was an absolute blast getting to know Kate McKenna this year. And there's one funny moment. You guys know that I'll like say things pretty honestly.
No,
but I'll also say stuff when I'm not actually serious, but like with a deadpan face. And I turned to her towards the end of the first game, and I was like, yeah, the level's good. I'm impressed. And she looked at me, she goes, I really can't tell if you're serious or not. And I have a spot of her face where she's just like so confused and she can't tell if I'm joking. And I'm like, no, it was good. Kate, you watched the same game that I did. But it was really fun to get to know her and get to work with her as well, because I up until now I don't think I'd ever worked with her before, and that was great. And then Erin McLeod, who in for the final game. I think there's just so much to be said about her career in general. It's super fun working with her as a like an analysis buddy. She and I, we decided we balance each other out a little bit. But just really natural. Everything kind of flowed really well and just really fun to work with her. I think her, you know, career arch is really great. I'm so glad she was involved with this league. And going out and trying to play pro soccer at 42, man, good for you. Amy laughed when I said I was going to do it. I was joking. when I got a Victoria team that I would try out, just like, I really, again, it was one of those. Yeah. Are you okay?
Yeah.
but no, I think just working with Erin, there's something really cool. I think Erin and Karina LeBlanc, way back in the day, I think I've talked about this before, how I think it probably started with Karina, but really trying to cultivate an environment in that goalkeeping sphere of positive competitive environment where they were very supportive of each other while at the same time competing for starting spots, which is really difficult to do when you're consistently training as this tiny little group and you're kind of siloed off from the rest of the team for huge parts of training. And I think that was very intentional. And I think it really set Canada up for a couple of decades there of some really excellent goalkeeping. And I think Erin was a big part of that. It was always really fun to play with her. And I'm really glad that we had the opportunity. I'm really pissed off that we didn't get a picture. I don't think we did.
You and Erin?
I wanted to get a picture of you and me and Erin because we all played the last time. The last time you and I played was in the Olympics. And it would have been really cool to get a picture of the three of us, but we didn't. Oops.
Anyway. Like Photoshop.
Screen grab.
Those are, and then like soccer moments, I think Quinn's penalty at the beginning of the year. I mean, it was a penalty, so whatever. But I think for a visibility and accessibility, and I know that they don't necessarily, you know, they aren't necessarily asking to be that. But I think it's important. And there's another thing I was yelling at Jimmy Brennan. Did a lot of that. But
as one tends to do, if you know Jimmy, you generally yell at Jimmy.
I caught a picture of it.
I was, that actually wasn't the time. I was yelling at him about something else then. We were talking about broadcasting for men's and women's soccer and talking about like, I think what my hope is that they're not treated as separate games, right? Because right now it feels like I just think there should be more, like there should be space for men who know women's soccer to broadcast in women's soccer games. There should be space for women who know men's soccer to broadcast in men's soccer games, right? Like, I don't think they are necessary. They're not two separate sports, right? And anyway, I was yelling at him about that. So that's it. That's all I have.
Sina, we've kept you much past your heart out.
Guys, I'm just getting my hair done because I've got to go to, I'm going to see Holly Hair, the best. Before I go to I'm covering speed skating. I'm going to Calgary tomorrow morning to cover World Cup speed skating with Anastasia. So I am still so exhausted and still on a high from the 7 months I've spent with all of you, whether it's been on broadcasts, at the top of the season and at the tail of the season with Claire, but the group chat has continued through the season. And of course with Dubs and Salty.
It will continue. And my friend, I want to say congratulations to you because you're going out to Calgary and you're going to miss your ceremony for 25 years at the CBC. We're really proud of you and I'm sorry that you're missing it, but I'm sure you will be celebrated.
Thank you. Thank you. That actually makes me emotional.
And we had a lot more things to dig into. The $5.4 million from the government to support the NSL and to help grow women's professional soccer in Canada, especially on the infrastructure side. We can get into that maybe next time. And also, Shireen, you wrote an incredible article yesterday on the CBC about, yes, we can celebrate this first year, but what are we on to next? And also with specifically the issue with no CBA for the players. There's a working players group, but that is something that needs to be prioritized going into year two.
Yeah, I think part of what it is that, you know, and I appreciate you saying, like, you know, my foray into broadcasting is recent and then doing the reps and working at it like anything else. And I do want to point out something for people that don't know. One of the things behind the scenes, you don't get to be this good without the prep work. I watched week after week, Amy and Sig comes with a Diet Coke can and then she'll go to her space outside the room initially on brand and then
strong Coke.
And then we'll come into the room and then hang out because either we're ironing Amy's clothes or doing something else. But the prep work that goes into this, Signa, you make it look easy and it's not. Play-by-play and color commentary, Amy, you are so prepared. Initially, when I started working with Amy, I'm like, she had 7,000 notes, like a PhD, like thesis. And like, you know me, I've got my notebook and this is a huge piece of ephemera for me because it's through the season, the notes I took on everything. And when I forgot my notebook, little scraps of paper that I would write on and put inside. But the way, like Amy had this every week. And I have to say that, and the hijab's off to both of you, because the way that you do that is inspiring. And for those listening out there, I also want to shout out the students and aspiring journalists who got a place in a press box throughout this season, who came to all the matches, who didn't necessarily get a front row seat for the final. I see you. I see you hustling. I see you putting your reps in. And I was really excited to see that at one of those semis. I think it was the Snow Globe one. At York Line Stadium, Toronto, the second attempt at this match. And I looked around and I was like, this is fantastic. There was like, other than the Toronto Star and me, and I was just sweat equity for me. I wasn't reporting on the match, but going to be there is and reporting and talking about it is what so many of these young people do when you know who you are. So I really want to talk about that too. And, you know, and again, shout out to the NSL for inviting community and student journalists to Media Day, because that was huge. Mm-hmm. And it was a good step. And I see a lot of that and want to grow a community in media as well. I take that really seriously. So that was really important. I don't know how I got on this tangent. Anyway, I love you guys. And there will be more.
I love you guys too. And growing that ecosystem, it's all part of it. 100%. And that my kind of parting words here is thank you to the league for giving us the opportunity, but thank you to the players, the coaches, the fans who have jumped on board with us and the broadcast in our coverage and following the NSL. And we're still women's soccer focused and talking about our women's national team and world football. But I think it was important that we put NSL kind of front facing and make sure that we are covering that, because that is just building. And I think more and more, we will get more people talking about it, more journalists reporting. And that's part of growing the game here as well.
And shout outs to Rian Wilkinson, who came for the final.
I know. I'm so happy she could be there because she was integral to this thing getting off the ground.
100%. And another really fun moment was everybody and then the story of the pitch documentary being told throughout the season too. I think the fact that it was chronicled, and when I did the panel in Halifax, I said to Michelle Ozzy, I was like, you're a national treasure, because so much, and this is why I really appreciate you all in the broadcast, is because we're chronicling the stories of women's sport in Canada. And very often those stories don't get told. And so if we put into practice that, and what I was going to say earlier was the article that I wrote, yes, absolutely incredible first year for the NSL, but also part of my job is to say this is what needs to happen next. And there's some bumps, just like any show. There's some blips, there's some sound tech issues or whatever, the feed, whatever, truck, vis-a-vis something else, studio. But my job as somebody who is a journalist is to say, well, look, this is what I've been hearing, these are what the sources have been saying, and it's a fine balance, it's a delicate balance. And so I'm trying to dance all that line. And, you know, I love to dance. So that's
what happened. Were you line dancing like Maggie Doherty Howard and company in Calgary?
No. We should do that. Next time the four of us get together, we should do some live. I feel like Claire do live.
Claire is on board.
Yeah. Audio listener Claire is shaking her head saying, no, it's never going to happen.
Yeah, all right. She says that.
Yeah. No, but she means it. She will disappear. She will vanish. All right, friends. Thank you so much for being our ride or dies in this inaugural NSL year. It's been a trip, and we appreciate you all. And on to the next thing, on to year two, but also everything in the space in between in women's soccer. So thanks to all three of you guys. You're the best. I love you. Till next time. Cheers, everybody, for listening and watching.
A bientôt.
Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig and visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Bye.
The barn burner.